Is Conrad back yet? He was traveling yesterday, he's supposed to be back today.
Yeah, yeah, that's all right.
Well, we're getting ready to start, so I would, yeah. So. Okay. Perfect. Thanks. We'll see you in a bit.
Father, we thank you right now for your goodness and your mercy. Bless your name, because your name is worthy to be blessed. The only name we've been called for man to be saved is the name of Jesus. We thank you right now for what you've done for us thus far. We thank you for what you're doing right now. And we thank you for what you're going to do in the future. Father, as we do the business of this county, we pray that you be with us. And we will do what's best for this community and our neighbors. We thank you again. And we bless your name. And we will continue to bless you. We don't pray right now for Richard as he convalesces. We pray for others. We pray for the bereaved right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For a mind to do those things which is right. And for a mind to do those things which is good for our community. We bless the people that help us. Help us make this budget what it is. And we pray right now for your blessing upon this community. We thank you and we thank you. And we bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome everyone this morning to our first budget workshop. Number three, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda? If not, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Yes.
That's right. It is a workshop. Okay. I just want to say that we've got a schedule before. I think everybody's got a copy of it. And I'm going to try to hold us to this schedule today as close as I can so that hopefully by 1 o'clock we have concluded this first day of budget talks. Number four, the board to hold budget work session to discuss all aspects of fiscal year 2019-2020 budget priorities. And I think first on the list is Danielle Welch.
Okay, so we will start with the certified values received from the property appraiser.
Which page were you at?
I am. There's a copy of this PowerPoint. Let's see. The general fund, the gross taxable value is $1,411,000,000. The certified value for 2018 was $1,346,000,000. So we have a gross taxable value increase of $64,786,000, which is a 4.81% increase. And then for the MSTU, the unincorporated area, the gross taxable value for 2019 is $1,183,000,000. And the certified value for 2018 was $1,116,000,000, which is a gross taxable value of $66,729,000, which is a 5.98% increase. And so this shows the current year millage rate compared to the rollback rate. The budget was prepared based on keeping the millage rate the same, which brings in an increase of revenue. The current millage rate is 7.2426 mills for the general fund and 1.1677 mills for MSTU for a total of 8.4103 mills. The rollback rate is the rate in order to bring in the same amount of revenue as the current year, which is a lower rate. The proposed aggregate millage rate represents a 4.97% increase above the rollback rate. So as a result of the increase in gross taxable values for the 2019 year, the rollback rate would actually represent a millage rate decrease. So in keeping the millage rate the same, the 2018-19 fiscal year, the general fund revenue was $9,755,000. And for the 19-20 fiscal year, at the same rate, we'll generate $10,224,000, which is the 4.81% increase of $469,220. The MSTU revenue for the 18-19 fiscal year was $1,304,000. For the 19-20 fiscal year, the same rate will generate $1,381,000, which is a 5.98% increase, $77,920. So in total, by keeping the millage rates the same, the 19-20 fiscal year should generate $11,606,000, which is an increase of $547,140 and 4.95%. So this is an overview of the entire budget, including all of the funds. The total budget request for the 19-20 fiscal year is $47,892,000. It is an increase from the 18-19 fiscal year. A quick overview, the general fund has a $2,533,000 increase. These are increases. We have retirement increases, medical examiner fees. We have property insurance premiums. We have property that was not on our insurance that LaWanda had a survey done, and we've added those. Capital requests and grants. Your airport fund changes are the close of some grants that were completed, so it decreased. Your road and bridge fund increases are in retirement, property insurance premiums, as well as capital requests and the addition of a request for an engineer, the second engineer. Your MSTU fund have increases in retirement. There was a dependent coverage in your health insurance, as well as capital requests and a new fire grant. And small county surtax, that was what started in January 2018 after we made the final debt service payment for the hospital, and is due to be used for capital. So that's just kind of an overview of the entire budget. And so we'll look at the MSTU fund. We've budgeted the ad valorem taxes based on keeping the millage rate the same. It has an increase of $74,023 after you allow for the budget allowance. We're anticipating an increase in other revenue. These are estimates based on what we've received this year and previous years. You have the SAFER grant, which is a new grant that we received this fiscal year and will carry over. Interfund transfer from the general fund is used to offset the calls that the county makes inside the city limits. The transfer is based on the budget and the percentage of calls, and it's a decrease due to the number of calls decreasing. And that helps the general fund, but hurts the MSTU. The other transfer is from the small county surtax fund, and it's being used to offset the capital request. and I'm estimating that the amount of the cash carry forward is going to be the same as last year, leaving the overall revenue at an increase of $186,631. There is an overall increase in expenditures for the MSTU fund. Again, it's due to increases in retirement, dependent changes in health insurance, as well as capital requests and a new fire grant. Total recurring expenditures is $1,924,000. So with the recurring revenue being $1,841,000, there's a deficit of $83,469. Below that, we have the reserves. The reserves is funded with money from prior year carry forward, and we have $681,531 in reserve for capital. And I've already reflected the $83,469 deficit from the reserve of capital, unless we do something different. And so we go to the general fund, and we budgeted the ad valorem taxes based on keeping the millage rate the same to increase to $445,759. The state shared revenues are estimates. We're estimating an increase based on the Department of Revenue estimates and our estimates from what we received this year and last year. We have an increase in our ad valorem offset for the fiscally constrained. There are increases in the state grants as well as the federal grants and revenue from other local governments, and these revenues are used to offset expenditures. The net overall recurring revenue increases by $520,000, which includes funding for offsetting the expenditures. And with the cash carry forward estimate, the budgeted revenue is $25,206,000. On the expenditure side, we have a decrease in the BCC salaries and benefits. There's an increase in operating expenses. That includes property insurance premiums, medical examiner fees, and required Medicaid payments that we have to make. It increases July 1st of every year. The transfer to Road and Bridge and MSTU is an increase due to the request of an addition of an engineer, and the general fund offsets a percentage of that expense. Transfers to your constitutional officers, the sheriff's office, their current request is an increase of $24,000, but that is offset with revenue from the school for this SRO program. Supervisor of Elections has an increase of $69,000, which is an increase in retirement, a request to fill a position and operating expenses for the election next year, and the cost that she has for security. The tax collector has a decrease of $925. And the property appraiser, there's an increase of $87,000, which is an increase in retirement as well as a new position and operating expenses. The clerk's increase is for retirement increase only. You have your legally designated funds for the 1920 fiscal year. Other recurring expenditures, you have your EMS, TCDA Health Department is budgeted the same as this year. The actual request for the TCDA is $138,230, but historically we budget what was approved in the current year and then decide from there, which this year it was, or last year it was cut for this year down to $100,000. So that's what I budgeted, but their request is for $138,000.
And the budget has $100,000.
Mm-hmm. And they actually submitted a second budget. A copy of it is in your binder. I didn't put it on here. Their second budget request is if the city agrees to help fund some of it, then that it increased it to over $200,000. But I did the first I did $100,000 in the first request because at this time the city doesn't.
$100,000 for this year?
No, sir. Not yet.
Waiting on the audit.
Mm-hmm. They receive it once the audit's been submitted and approved.
Which should be on the next agenda, correct? Okay.
I haven't received it, so.
Okay. I'll talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you better do the thing. You want to go ahead and talk now, Chair Linda? Go ahead.
Tom, good news. The two issues, CCDA wants $100,000, you've got this year's budget, but I remember Mr. Tate saying that when you get a good audit, we'll turn that loose, and we've got an audit, and one of those guys, I probably was distributed, I don't know.
It was.
To the board?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's good. I got some concerns about it, but I'm jumping around there, but we have a CPA on our board, and I've asked him to contact the auditor and make a report to us on our next board meeting, which is Thursday. I will get a lot of details, but could you look at the audit? There's things there talking about Sweetwater Preserve being on 5 years, okay? Because even got some Citrus County stuff in, and between us and Plains Peak, it's sloppy, okay? Well, I'm on audits. I'm adding to the audits. I've dealt with audits over the years, and we couldn't find the audits, okay? The old audits. I went on Auditor General's website, Tallahassee, got and looked at a lot of them. And we should probably get that dismissed, but there's not a lot, always more important than the budget's what you plan to do. The audit's where it's extended. They had made an expert on it. I'm very good at looking
at it. Probably got the modest, it's sort of laying in storage.
We got, and I'll get to another point in a minute, but I used to get Ernest Allen, Ellison, all of them, we'd go by and visit him, just stay and do that. But anyway, that audit's important, really important. You can learn a lot by looking at those old audits. There's one thing in there, a couple of years ago, said CCDA had $40,000. It's owed to them and collectible. And all they got to figure is that when CCDA bought those lots, from the track out there at Foley, they paid $24,000. And to me, if the city sells that, the CCDA ought to get that $40,000 back, because they told me all the bridges collectible. And you can leave that up. That may not be what it is, but I need help in understanding that. Dave Booth from CPA, and you'll see the audit. It's got Citrus County stuff in it. It's talking about Sweetwater Preserve. It's talking about Vision 26. All that's just flood. But the bottom line is where the money coming from, where you got it. And look at that real bus anyway. But I'll get a report from Dave Thursday. I hope it's good. I'll see anything that we're concerned with. We want to know that it's good, and I need that I want to overemphasize the importance of audit, a good audit that really looks at her. One does to me, she does a good job, and you need to be proud of her. She knows definitely going to put a sticky, but she goes to me to back up. Tom's asked, why don't you get on that board? You first about it, okay? Right, you tell me that. The state legislature, your wife's going to leave you to get on that board. Anyway, my thinking is, we've got three focus areas. I'm going to work on one, just building coalitions for the city, chamber. Chamber used to have an ex officio board member on the board. They didn't vote, they were supporters that we have an initiative. And the other thing we're doing is I've asked Wallace Holmes, who's a former school board member, be liaison with school system. You probably start to not so brilliant. You probably start to go to the school system, just have that interface with TCDA. I guess the real significant thing, we voted to let Jason's stuff on your has been located in an office that hadn't been used in years. And he's going to pay us $200,000 a month. Yes, another. $200 a month. That's going to be that or cover our. We hope cover our utility. But anyway, having a client comes in, when he's there in the office, he gets in there in the office. That makes a difference. Back to coalitions. And Tom Snow's the more part of these ones without any partnership. You miss a meeting, but. Jeff Hinton and Dan Schultz did a real good presentation. I had them attend our TCDA board meeting, and then I had them at Kiwanis. They really know what to do. They got a lot to offer. And Jeff's not going to let Thomas dead. But anyway, that's part of the coalition I'm going to be able to people to support TCDA. And I appointed Don Henry Jr. to be liaison with the city. And I'll try to y'all are going to be auctioning, if y'all are going to be, but we are asking for that. You've been going back to the level that you had a couple of years ago, is that right?
It's 142 is what it was.
Well, that, we just about to go back to that point, but I need to tell you that we got some things, I'm not going to say what I told them on, but Chris, you're trying to get things back on track. You figure out that what I told them on, but they was not agreeable with Scott Reddick, let him really bring the wind, he was just there, got paid, that's fine. They was not agreeable with our account, we got to have an agenda for, there's a draft, and then the next year, we got that on the agenda for next Thursday. They're not agreeable with city to use that building, but getting Jason in there, it forced that to become the address, the address in there. Several things, just loose ends that we will try to tie there. And, the other thing I want to focus on is, public accessibility and public repair we do. We've got those audits and there's a link to our attorney's website. It's saying that I have to stay to get to it, but talking to Juan about getting some IT help from somebody to do our upgrade to develop the party website. So there's nothing in that portal that shouldn't be public. So we have to do there's nothing in there.
No, sir. Right.
The other thing is bylaws. I don't know anything though, but I asked, did you get, require us to do bylaws before we extended the board? The purpose they said for extending the board was to get four. Don't make four is easier to get. But what it's done is give us a, we have El Paddy's Baker, basically, chemistry, we don't have a chemistry, basically, got a good cross section of, board member, like they mentioned CPA and Marvin Brooks from the bank and Duke of Pittsburgh, and I'm utilizing that. And the sunshine, well, I can't talk to them except in meetings, okay? And we're probably going to go to meeting every twice a month. But we pretty much, I think, I'm not sure if we voted on that, but we talked about it. And so the board members can't really be involved, just meeting once a month. And,
I think what we talked about was maybe the possibility of having a workshop once a month and then have a meeting after that. So,
you know, that's good.
Right.
So, if the schedule of use for a committee workshop or a board workshop at 11:30 and then have a board meeting, then they want to keep the board meeting. I mean, that's pretty much the consensus. Mm-hmm. Workshops, they Ben Green had taught the ethics board because I don't think if I could get him to come. So they could do another one that's board CC board members to participate in, at least he could come to our board and talk for 30, 40 minutes with our folks. We can do that or even pay an attorney to do it. He's free. Anyway, public accessibility to subject, and I'll have to tell y'all if you ask people on the street. CCDA have a real good image right now. Some of them go back. They just got out of control with the city and that bio maps and that way back on. But that's behind us, and what I'm telling you is we where we are and just get that off. I think it's okay. If it's not, we'll try to figure out what happened. Accountability, accessibility to the public, good coalition, I talked about, but I think that means anything else, but we are asking to at least get back to the original allocation. And it overwhelms me what y'all have to do with it. I feel like I'm wasting your time or I don't know what it is. But any questions, I guess, is not.
I don't have any questions, but I just want to say this, that since I'm on that board, I'm not a voting member of that board, but I can see a huge difference in the past 2 or 3 months. I think things were in quite a disarray, but now we're seeing a lot more organization. Ray Curtis spent I don't know how much time trying to dig through and pick up stuff that was not available to us, to the public, or anybody. And everything, now I can say, he's gone back with every, all the minutes and all the business, and he's put it on the website, and like all he said, it's going to be where the public can get to it, but it's meeting notices, agenda, you know, the agenda, the minutes, and everything else, the budget, and I'm really happy to see that, and I'm telling you, Ray Curtis did an excellent job, I mean, a professional job.
All we did, we've had two, he's been our director, we're paying Scott, we're paying him, we've outspent all that GPS money on attorney fees.
But we got something for the money, we got the money, but this time.
Let me kind of go back to one other thing, on this ad valorem tax abatement, okay? I think I understand they're supposed to create 10 good jobs for the county, okay? We have one submitted that we're going to talk about Thursday, that's got one to five jobs, $10, $20, and maybe down the road there'll be some more jobs. But like it was a FSC football player said, potential means you hadn't been in jail, they need it. We need more, and I'm going to, I'm not going to vote to send that to you like that, but that's just, if they can provide you with 10 good high paying jobs, I'll put the letter down to you, but I think the comment in my ear, but I've read that ordinance, and the one here is supposed to be pretty specific requirements.
There are specific requirements, but there are several avenues within the ordinance that make that abatement available, so.
Does that qualify as targeted, is that one of them?
Enterprise zone, which is just a geographical designation, and then to create, the creation of jobs, so. What I would recommend is that each TCDA board member become familiar with that ordinance.
Send it to them again,
okay.
And I wouldn't mind, they did a long expose on that.
He did.
It's not that complicated, okay? There's all kind of ways you can get at it, but it's been
exactly.
I don't want to write, but I'll come back and I'll share it with them.
I don't like the enterprise zone stuff because that encompasses all of Tudor County almost.
But that enterprise zone ordinance in effect back in San Pedro Investments.
Yes, it was.
But they terminated, well, they, he was.
No, he withdrew. Yeah. He withdrew. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about, was he still eligible?
According to the ordinance.
He had a job.
30 minutes.
Okay.
Sounds good.
That's right. I've got, it's short and sweet with some good news.
Come on. So,
not yet.
Not yet.
We're working on it. So, insurance update. I'm going to have Crystal come up in just a minute and talk about voluntary dental and things such as that. The medical insurance, things are still progressing very nicely. The insurance committee's done a great job keeping everything going the way it needs to be going. This year, we were able to get a rate passed, no increase on the insurance, which that's a good thing. Very good. One thing I did want to talk about, though, and I've touched on this a little bit with LaWanda and brought it up some to the insurance committee. One of the reasons that the group is doing so well is because years ago, there was a lot of time spent thinking about how are we going to structure the program to best benefit this county. And it's worked great. We've had a couple of years of a variety of high-cost claims that we were able to sustain but not have a rate increase because of them, those types of things. Strategies perform beautifully. We're at a position now where that strategy is starting to be nibbled into. So I really want to take the time this fall, winter, and spring to go through all of this again with the insurance committee and evaluate where we are with our strategy. And if we need to make some changes, make the recommendations, I guess it would be next spring to the board, if we needed to make some recommendations for change, for the strategy. Might need to go through the process and determine that everything's great. And we just want to stay the course and don't need to change anything. But I think we need to stay ahead of it, stay in front of it. It's working really, really well. The one driving factors of your insurance premiums is your claims, of course, your medical loss ratios. And currently, your current medical loss ratio is right at 85% before we subtract out the high cost claims. When you subtract the high cost claims out, we get back down into the 70s, which is where we want to be to have this buffer to protect us from the high cost claims. My concern is you have to take into consideration inflation. Everything goes up. So what are we doing to take care of that? And I don't necessarily think we're in a bad position. I just want to make sure. You know, so for a cost perspective, there's a rate pass. Everything's working great. I just really wanted to open up for any questions. If you had any questions, what we wanted to accomplish by bringing the sheriff into the plan worked. Our credibility factor went up, which was, I don't know if you guys remember me talking about that. I wanted that to happen, and it went just like we thought it would. So the credibility factor, which used to hover somewhere in the 50s, is now in the mid to upper 60s, I believe. I don't know where. Okay. I can't see that far anymore. Yeah, it's in the mid to upper 60s, and which is what we want. So we're starting to see the benefit from that.
And that was a good move.
Yes, ma'am. It was.
In more ways than one.
Yes, it was. There was some discussion at one point about the timing of it, but the idea of it was never in question. It was going to be beneficial, and we knew that. But it's worked out just the way we want. Credibility. So that's the gist of what's going on with the medical insurance. Do you have any questions for me? Yes, ma'am.
Joe, can you explain in a little more detail about the concept of having that buffer and how that actually works? My perception is that the buffer is just that it kind of protects us in years that we have numerous high cost claims, but our MLR even in the 70s is a little bit higher than we've had in previous years. So the higher the MLR, the lower chance that we'll get a rate pass or a reduction or anything similar to that. And I think from the conversations we've had in the past is that we're kind of teetering at this point. So taking the rate pass is great for our budget for next year, but if we have a bad year as far as claims, then we can have an even bigger increase in next year. So the purpose of that is for stability in our premiums. Correct.
Correct. Okay. So the way your premiums are calculated, everybody's premiums are calculated this way, is your medical loss ratio, there's a magic number of 85%. So at 85%, that's what the federal government has set the regulation at. The insurance company has to spend 85% of your premium on claims. Now, the problem with that is when they do that and you have the unexpected high-cost claims, your plan blows up, right? We've seen this before. And you also have no way to protect yourself from what's referred to as your medical trend factor, which is your expected or coming claims. This is where you see people a lot of times who are just kind of floating along and all of a sudden they get that 25% rate increase because they're operating at that 85. Years ago, the insurance committee made the decision that we wanted to create what we call a risk corridor or a buffer, where we operate below the 85 at our own choice. And the reason we did that is because the number one concern when we did the evaluation, I guess it was 5 or 6 years ago now, with the insurance committee, their number one concern was volatility. You know, what happens if we get a 25%, you know, rate increase out of nowhere? So we devised this strategy to come in and build this corridor, so when you have these high-cost claims, you might go up and bump that 85, but the odds of going above it are really low. So you pay a little bit more every year in good years to give yourself the protection in the bad years. Okay?
Makes sense to me.
That's what we're doing, in its simplest terms. So in the last 2 years, you had a lot of high-cost claims. But because we have this corridor in place, it didn't blow the top out of it. We operated really smoothly. Now, the reason, I think what you're getting at is that corridor used to operate somewhere between 15 and 20% buffer. And the reason, that number was not random. We came up with it, we calculated what that number needed to be to protect us from the high-cost claims. We were correct in our calculation. So when we had the high cost claims, it didn't blow up. For the last 2 or 3 years, that corridor is shrinking a little bit every year because there's one factor that we're not addressing, and that's medical inflation. Everything costs a little bit more every year. Gallon of milk costs a little bit more than it did 5 years ago. Eggs, trucks, whatever, pick something. Everything costs more. The cost to go to the doctor, the cost to get an MRI, all those types of things cost more now than they did 5 years ago. That increase is medical inflation. We've been using that risk corridor to protect us for the last 2 or 3 years from these high cost claims. We're not taking into consideration the medical trend right now. So what we need to do, and this is why we need to do this analysis with the insurance committee, is figure out, do we need to have an adjustment to account for medical trend to give us that full cushion back again? Because we're operating right now at about 80% of the cushion that we wanted. So that's the gist of it. And I might be getting more technical than you care for me to get to.
You know, I'm just sitting there thinking, and when you're doing all of this, do you take into consideration your aging workforce too?
There's a factor in the renewal. Just a demographic factor where they take into consideration the age and the gender and all the different aspects of the demographic of your particular group. So that is accounted for.
Okay. an example, if you have one employee that, say, had a catastrophic event, would that one employee shift the whole thing?
If you didn't have the cushion, it absolutely would.
One person, wow.
We had one high-cost claim that in a given silo of risk, and I might be getting way too technical on this, but to answer your question, with real information of what actually occurred, we had one claim that made up 85% of the premium in that silo. Mm-hmm. One claim. But that's because we had that cushion.
Right, and that's even with reinsurance.
Correct. To see that, so you got the cushion underneath the 85 to protect you.
Right.
Reinsurance protects you above the 85. Mm-hmm. So you build, that's the reason we call it a risk corridor, because you've got protection above it with the reinsurance, and you got protection below it with your cushion. This is your insurance committee at work. They're good. I mean, these guys go with me all over the state. I brag about them all the time. They're good.
And Joe, for our current plan, from what I recollect, we have made minor adjustments through the last several years to try to bring that the numbers as far as our premiums. So there wasn't a big increase. We try to tweak, but we're kind of running out of ways to nibble at the current plan without it having a large effect. And that's why in some years the deductible will go up slightly, or your prescription benefits may change a little bit, because we try to find what gives us the most bang for our premium bucks and affects the fewest people. But we're kind of running out of options.
Yeah, that's why I refer to in the meetings as firewood. You know, we've got this stack of firewood over here, and we'll throw the log on from time to time. What we're trying to do in that is we're taking the small changes that impact the fewest number of people in an attempt to deal with this medical inflation. Mm-hmm. So the risk corridor takes care of your high-cost claims. That part of it is working beautifully. When we change the deductible just a little, or change your prescription benefits just a little, what we're trying to do is impact that premium just enough to deal with the medical inflation. And we're out of options on that. We've used all these little bits and pieces that we could, and now we are out of options on how we're going to do any more small adjustments without it being something that, you know, we're going to have a very serious conversation about. So that's what we're trying to get at.
What's the medical inflation annually?
It's typically between 3-5%. That's national. So that's the national number. In some of the more rural or remote areas, it can vary greatly. So it can be a lot below that, but there's other areas that medical inflation in a given area could be 12-15%. And every year, it skews even more, because if you just think about it in terms like this, so if you have a small town that has three doctors in that town, and over an 18-month period, two of those doctors retire, and a new doctor comes to town, it charges a lot more. So, versus a big city, and they're like Jacksonville, they've got thousands and thousands of doctors, so if doctors retire, you're not going to have as big of an impact. So when you're thinking about it in terms of a small rural area, which is where I like to work, the places we work in, that's the reason it's kind of all over the place, because a clinic can open and drive costs way down, but at the same time, a clinic can close and a new one come to town and drive costs way up. So it's kind of volatile.
Interesting how y'all do this.
Well, you know, I like it. It's definitely a challenge, but I like coming here because I always have good stuff to say that we don't. It works well here. Not every one of my clients work as smoothly, but everything's working like it's supposed to. We're going to be hopefully coming back in the spring with a report either everything's great, we don't need to change much, or, you know, these are the three things I think you should consider kind of conversation. So that's where we're at.
Okay, well, right now it's good.
Right now it's good. I wouldn't lose any sleep over it right now.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Okay. Okay. You want to come and tell them about the voluntary stuff?
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Okay, as far as voluntary, the vision is staying the same. We have a rate to pass on our rate guarantee until 2021. The dental insurance does have a 3%, 3.4 increase, which is for an employee with an employee family, would be an increase of $3 a month, $3.62 a month. That's the most for an employee only, be not expense. The life insurance did have the basic life, also has an increase. It has a 15% increase. That sounds like a lot, but the basic life is the only thing that did have an increase. It's 60 cents per employee, which would be approximately $131 towards the four, what they insured. That's the only one that has a print increase. The supplemental did has a rate pass for the next 2 years. So that's where we are now. The retirees on the life, we do have approximately 11 retirees. They would have an increase. Theirs would be the most they would have is 89 cents. So if everything's under a dollar, I'm not on the life.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
What dental company do we use now?
Humana.
Now,
yes, sir.
Prior to Humana, which has been in effect for us a couple of years,
yes, sir.
We had
Ameritech. Yes, sir.
When I go to the dentist for my regular five-year checkup, they sort of frown on the company that we use now.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem to be too terribly excited about it compared to the previous one. You know, change is hard for all of us. And so, I have a dentist, see you later, Mr. Page. Give me $20.82. You know, it's a little bit of difference. You used to this.
Do
you mind? I just wanted to let you know about dental provider.
Do you mind me asking what provider you have? Because there's, like, Dr. Fuller is no longer in network.
Well, I use Dr. Morgan.
Dr. Morgan should be in network, so that.
Well, I still get a bill every time I come. Got one yesterday. If you don't send us $20.82, it's going to turn you over to collections.
If you don't mind, will you bring me a copy of that so I can work on that?
Yes. I'm about to put it in the trash. I'm going to get it every time. Yeah, that ain't supposed to do my cleaning for whatever you want.
Yes, sir, it should be covered at 100%. There shouldn't even be a deductible for a cleaning.
Unless they're doing something extra.
Yes,
that is
not
or
something.
Right.
Or a deep clean.
I mean, if somebody can use $20.18, I'm going to stop by and get that and pay it because I don't need to be in collection agents.
But we do have to check on it.
I'll get what you get. I'll pass it on to the one and she can get it to me. Didn't believe you bring me up just to my little, you know.
If you don't tell me I don't know, I can't work on it if I don't know. Any other questions?
Yes, ma'am. I just had a little work done. I get that to see you after that. Extraction, is that what we get?
The extractions should be, they should pay 80%.
Anybody
else?
Yes, Mr. Joe, you said you come here and you carry your people to do what the other town and tell them about us?
Sir?
Did you say you carry your people with you to the other town and tell them about us? Is that what you said?
Yeah, you guys do pretty.
Well, I want to know, if you help us on that deduction, you know, by being a catalyst for Gilbert.
Oh, are you Model County?
Yeah, you know where I'm coming from. Sorry, I don't know.
How about I check on that? I'll see how that works. If people start acting like y'all, I certainly would. But that's them.
You tell them that.
I will.
Okay, that's it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank y'all so much. Have a good day.
Appreciate it.
Okay, it's 10 till 10, so we don't have our next presenter until 10:30. So let's go back to Danielle and get called up there.
I think we have to.
No,
oh, that's
I'm
right.
Gone.
He's already gone.
I'm off.
Okay.
I think we were on general fund operating expenditures.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. The bottom section is the new grant funded capital, and we show it as an expense, but the revenue is coming in to offset either all or a percentage of it from the grant. And this is our new non-recurring capital, and it totals $442,538. The total expenditures budgeted is $17,167,000 before the capital adjustment, with the recurring revenue being $16,831,000, and the recurring expenditures after I do the capital adjustment of the $442,000 is $16,725,000, which shows us in the good by
$106,928.
Go in a little bit more detail. Okay. Our total expenditures that we've budgeted is $17,167,591. And then I take out the non-recurring capital from that because our cap, and then with our recurring revenue of the $16,831 and the adjusted recurring expenditures, our revenue is more than our expenditures by $106,000. So we do not show a deficit.
Okay. We have a lot of add-ons this year. We have a lot of new requests this year.
For capital? For
capital. Yes.
Yes, capital.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Keep going.
And some of those are not included in these numbers, and we, in the draft capital improvements that we handed out this morning, anything that's not in the budget is highlighted in yellow.
So we'll come back. We'll come back Thursday and talk about specifics.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And so this is a list of what is designated to be funded with our cash carry forward money. Capital improvements are projects that will not be completed before the end of the fiscal year. Therefore, the current funds designated for those projects are carried forward. And it's the same for the legally designated funds. These are funds that have a reserve or a sinking fund, and the funds are legally restricted in how they can be used. And that brings us to,
That's
a stage.
The stage, yeah. Okay. All right, all right.
And it would be on here because I believe there was a donation, and if you didn't spend all of the donation money, that's what was left. And so that brings us to the general fund reserves. And the capital improvements already reflects the new capital request and is subject to change between now and the end of the fiscal year. And so the total expenditures budgeted in the general fund, including recurring, non-recurring, and designated, is $25,100,000. So that's our your total budget for the general fund. And you'll see on our reserve for capital improvements as of July the 12th, we had an increase of $1.8 million, which is good. And like I said, that is subject to change between now and our first hearing that we do in September, because we may have some expenses that I'm not aware of, or something may come up, and we have to, you know, if we have to do a budget transfer from contingency because we had something come up or something like that. So that number may adjust a little bit before the first hearing in September, but normally it's not that much. Okay. And that's all I have. Unless you have any questions.
Mm-hmm. I've got questions, but I'll wait until Thursday.
Okay.
But let me ask you about one for the jail. Is that $21,899?
Sir?
The last one on that, last program?
The 100, they have revenue that comes in for local room and board. And so that money goes towards their reserve for capital improvement, specifically for the jail.
That is to get.
Help a roof for the jail or anything that's a capital improvement out there.
Yeah, I noticed that would be this.
I think last year we got a chiller. We used a chiller for the jail, come out of it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, this is a good subject, and y'all have worked very hard on this, and I really appreciate the work that y'all have done on this budget. Certainly a lot better than it was last year, but I think that this board, we need to be very careful in how we spend our taxpayer money. Just because we're looking good, I think that everybody comes with their hand out, but we don't need to give the farm away. I just want to remind the board that we have attention our reserves before to balance our budget quite a bit last year, and I'm hoping that we can replenish that instead of let's go get that little bit of money that we've got run our pockets up. I know when I was young, I'd get a dollar and it burn a hole in my pocket so I could get somewhere to spend it.
That's what
happened. And so I want us to be very cautious. I know that we've got a lot of people coming that's going to be asking for stuff, but you know, this is a business, and we have to run our business prudently, and I just want to be very, very careful. Do y'all want to take a break until we don't have anybody else?
Yes, go ahead. Now, having seen all this, we've got a little bit, $106,000 to the good, we'll put it that way.
Yes, sir.
If we didn't make any changes at all, are we replenishing any in the reserves, as Terry's alluded to? Or is the reserve going to be the same?
That 106 would go into the reserve.
That 106, which is not much.
Okay. It would go into the reserve, yes.
So if we add any more into the reserves, we would have to take something out of what you all have worked very hard to present. If we get this $300,000 out of the old hospital, would reserves be a good place to put that?
That's where it would go.
That was where?
Because depending on when we got it, we would deposit it, and it would be part of our cash carry forward into next year if we got it this year.
All right. And so then our reserves would be replenished about $400,000. Mm-hmm. And then there may be a couple of other things we might could leave out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But I would commend you on the hard work. Of course, it's one of the few years that I've been here where you got a little bit of money to deal with it. Usually the other way around, it's a painstaking operation to try to figure out where you're going to juggle numbers to make things work. But we want to be careful, as our chair has said, how we spend this money. And we made one request. We've got a 100,000 budget at GCBA. They already are asking for
138.
Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure we'll have other requests.
Well, you know, and we need to, just like at home, we need to put back for hard times. You don't ever know when we're going to be hit by another storm. We don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, since we've had to spend money before that we didn't have, I'm very conservative with this. This is going to be very conservative with this budget. And I'm going to be quite candid about what we give away and don't give away. I want to see our money saved for hard times. And already you can see from this, obviously some people realize that we are having a little bit better budget year, so they've added in new positions, they've added in capital things, and you know, they can ask, and that's okay to ask, but it doesn't mean that we have to agree. And I appreciate y'all putting together. You put together what is asked for mainly, and then it's up to us to go back through. And just because you put it in here doesn't mean that you're saying this is what we need to do. You put the request in here, then it's up to us to go through that and say, okay, is this something that we really want to do, or do we want to, you know, build our kitty back up from hard times? Or that's, I'll tell you, that's where I'm going to be. So, I mean, we are a business, and we got to run this like a business. And I think that's what the taxpayers are expecting from us, is to operate this like a business like we would at home. Sheriff, are you ready to present?
If you are, I'm
come on. Okay. You walked in just at the right time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come on. Present our budget. Does anybody have a copy of this? You should have. Thank you. Anyway, we tried to do the best we could, and I think we did a pretty good job. We just tried to keep everything the same. We didn't ask for a whole lot. I did put in there, they, y'all found the money where we could hire another deputy. It'll help us with our situation on the south end of the county. Every time we get low and short, they always come up short down there. But my goal is to have a deputy down there, Steve Hatch, deputy keep peace, area. Supervisor to work between them. Especially in the summertime when they get overloaded with people, the population double down there. The salt season, you know, fishing during the summer. That's my ultimate goal, is to have somebody down there all the time we got life for. If you can do something, I'd appreciate it. If you can't, then we can just stay status quo where we are. I appreciate it. If you require anything else that we need to do, let me know. I'll be glad to work on it. We'll make it happen someday.
Well, I want to say that I've seen a presence at Pink Beach. Seems like more this year. And I want to tell you, I appreciate that. And I'm sure everybody else does. I've seen more of a presence this year than I've ever seen. And that's just because of, you know, the crime that we have down there, and I appreciate that.
I get a good response down there. Thank you, appreciate it. We see the difference.
We strive to get better, and to get better when we're working with people. And we will, and we think we get better. I think we are. We got a statistic the other day, said crime was down. Our crash reports are down, things like that.
I wish you could stop some of that speeding. That's all my house down there. Everybody else's house too, but from, you know, we're right there at the bridge going to Hodges Park, and I'm telling you, they really speed through there. And when you're down there, you see there's a lot of people walking.
Oh, I know.
Children all walking up down the road. There's a golf cart, there's bicycles. But and
that's one reason I like to have one as deputy there every day.
That
moment ago. And then we'll get there. We'll eventually get there. with New Orleans County tax speed trailer. I think, do we get speed trailer fixed yet, Marty?
It's just out there.
Okay, we got some lights out anyway. We try to keep it down there in different areas. That seems to help some.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we go back, he gives us a readout, then we go back and work that area if it's a high rate of speed. And that is, and I get complaints all the time about people speeding down there. Mm-hmm.
They really do.
Yeah.
There's just too many people on the road, on the side of the road down there. It's the beach, and they're going to be, walking, and in their golf carts. And, you know, so I just appreciate that kind of job are doing and what you can do.
Right.
Any questions from
the chat? On behalf of the people who are trying to keep the beach, we thank you.
Just thank you, Stephen. You're more than welcome. Like I said, we do the best we can what we got, and we strive to do better. And, you know, nobody's perfect, but we do. We do what we can. I think we're doing pretty good.
Sheriff, you're doing a great job. Thank you.
I go down to Cedar Island and come down here and spend 50% down here.
Mm-hmm.
In the times that I'm in out, I see more of a law enforcement presence. I love it when I see, here's our sheriff, mm-hmm. and he's cruising around, mm-hmm. and I've noticed a significant difference. I can sure back that up with data because I didn't put it in the check mark every time I saw y'all. But I
appreciate it. Well, that's a question I ask every day, and you can ask Chief Denny around there. Who you got the thing that you got to keep me? You know, where's everybody at? So, yeah. We're short, and somebody goes down. If I go myself, I go myself. But after, we're going to continue to do that, right? A little more help would be a lot better.
Y'all park my yard anytime you want to.
Thank you.
How many deputies you got now?
We just hired one yesterday. That made 14 right morning.
Dang,
yeah. We just put
for
a new
road. For the road now.
For the road.
Yeah, 14 for the road. We have more than that. But we have 8 school resource officers. Mm. We have 4 civil officers. So, I mean, we have more deputies, but one's assigned to the road.
So 14 deputies, but then you have other
Higher
staff people that on a big event, you can pull in some of your higher people.
And I'll tell them, just because you put on a set of bars or a set of stripes, that don't resent you from being a deputy. We're a deputy first, we're going to get the job done, whatever we got to do. But we got a large county, we try to spread everybody out.
Yeah.
And I try to keep the supervisor. If something bad happens or something, we got a supervisor that knows what to do. I've been in a situation one time where a supervisor didn't know what to do. And I was on the ground with somebody and he just lost it. So I'm trying to keep that happening. And it's Martin that I'm talking about. They won't call no name or nothing. It's important to have a supervisor. So I can get there or the chief can get there. He already knows what to do. Because the people suffer if we don't know what to do.
You get hurt.
Well, if you need another deputy, I support that. I certainly think that we need to protect our citizens and our citizens' property, and I'd be more apt to, and I am willing to, for me, one commissioner, to help you get the extra deputy. I'd rather put the money there versus another. Somebody else that wants another office staff or something, because that right there, a deputy, means a lot to our citizens.
Yeah, I agree. So let's see what you can do if you can. I appreciate what you do. Okay. I'm glad we get along.
Yeah.
I go to these conferences and people, and you hear these horror stories about me. The board don't get along with the sheriff, and everybody has all these problems and all that. I just said, we don't have all that. So I'm thankful we don't.
We have to work together because this is a partnership.
Yes, ma'am.
And so that's just the way it has to be.
Yes, ma'am. And I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I can write it down. How much would that?
68.
And if I can say something real quick,
yes.
I just want to remind everyone that the sheriff's office has done an incredible job trying to keep our inmate medical expenses down.
Yes.
We have not had to come to the board, knock on wood, I know, I'm preaching it, and ask for additional funding this year. We've been very creative as far as moving money around to address some of the maintenance issues at the jail, and there is a capital request in next year's budget for the jail. But we work very well together, and I really appreciate that partnership because it helps all of us.
It sure does.
We're going to continue to do that.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I just want to say something for the community. I was in a little forum the other day, and they want to know, what was Taylor County best noted for? And what came out of that, I got about 10 people. So there's a crisis in Taylor County. The county will come together and do what it needs to do to try to alleviate any problems. And that's saying something big.
And we got Sheriff
to
look after us.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate it.
I get trouble. I'm going to call
and
I'll be right there. That's right. You can always count on me doing my job. Whatever I got to do. If you support, that's what it is.
That's right. You got our support.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. Thank you. Anybody
else, please? I got to say one thing.
Yes.
The general public is proud of the emergency management program going. The way it's been going.
Yes.
And I hear a lot of good things about emergency management. So, you know that. The general public appreciates it.
Yes, sir. There again, we're out there for you. Whatever you need, we run the center.
And you got a good person over there. Christy's doing a great job.
Doing a good job. We got her some help now. She has a coordinator to help, you know, help her. She's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Moving right on.
And I think she's
hunky-dory then. I hope so.
If you think y'all let me
know.
Anybody else?
Don't brag too much. The bottom of the
bottom. That's true. Very true.
All right.
Thank you. If you need me, call me. If you see something, say something.
We sure will. We will. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I like a
band. Okay, I was going to say, let's take a break. We got time. If y'all want to call Bruce and tell him we'll be ready for him at 10:30, and that moves him up 30 minutes. And then maybe Mark, just know how then we're running a little bit of time.
You want me just to have them come over when they can?
Well, Bruce can come at 10:30, and if he's not going to take the full 30 minutes, you can ask him, then we go ahead and get Mark to come on. And I'm here, and you get hospital here.
So maybe you're like. Yes, sir.
Here you go.
Okay.
That's how Bill Jones did
his
job.
Uncle Charles, yes, that's our uncle. Scott.
And I didn't know that this had it passed, and I had a doctor's appointment when I filed reading it.
I'll tell him. I sure will. Thank you.
Me and Charles talked about an hour after that.
Did you?
Yeah. We worked together 27 years. Same job.
He's a sweet thing.
He is.
He is.
The whole family, I think.
Yeah, they are. They are. But I'll sure tell him.
I think you're fortunate to be in that family. And he's fortunate to have you from what I understand.
Thank you.
But I didn't know Danielle was your daddy.
He is. Yes. Okay, look at me and tell. I'm
just kidding.
That's him.
Oh, great, great. Good people,
huh? I had dinner. That's important.
Damn it. I had to check
water.
Doing good,
sir.
Are y'all growing?
A lot.
I heard a fellow said last week, you don't have a few of them, just had to spew them. Or he just the way the people treated him out there, and he's from out there. He just wondered how people in Perry got along, but how they have problems with it. That kind of love y'all have.
That was in our Sunday class, where she teaches.
Is that right?
That Sunday comes here, and she was a
barber. Yeah.
She had people everywhere that she could
be. She wasn't sick that long, was she?
No, probably a couple of months.
You doing all right,
Pat? How you doing, sir?
Doing good.
Good. All right, how about you?
Yeah, you kind of like that.
She's got a horse. She wasn't thinking. She got a feeling of horse. She's feeling better than when we're suffering from our I'm not pushing the situation. I'm doing what I can do. We know where we are, so.
I'm trying to get my fingers to stick.
Wow.
Well, I think it was. It's
taken me forever to get over that moldy donut from the snack machine. We're just going to go out and put some rubber in there. Water it down. Probably take some of the sugar out. I can't say it's going to be good, but I will put some of the sugar in there. Okay, so now anyway, four. Even times they make
money. There must have been seven trying to get in. So I will go another bunch of my dormo money or something out there. I went down.
I'm just trying not to read chocolate fingerprints on my paper, but that's it.
Then we go to check out his brother. I looked at him and I said, you don't need him. To get to, let's see.
This is the best start for legislators.
It's what?
This is the best start for legislators.
I'm glad.
Back in the mid-2000s, the property values were going up 17%.
Oh, wow.
So they just moved enough to roll back right there for $1 million. It was like, I don't know if I swing in, but still we're putting $500 in the reserve. So I think we're done literally 15 minutes.
Wow.
Now or later, go back to my phone and find out if you can have him in the first.
So you can do this for a while.
I'm sitting here this morning, and I realized, good morning,
I've got to take a blood pressure medicine. I was sitting there, that feeling a little weird. And Shelly, it was I got thinking through my morning now. Oh, my God, I forgot to take a little blood pressure. But I think I have to do it. And I did it. I remember taking it.
Yeah, I didn't take mine. I called and said, is my pill in my little cabinet thing? And she goes, oh, yeah. Makes sense.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good.
Y'all
are long
for
it.
Y'all feel like you're all good.
You're
not good.
I'm
not good.
I'm
not good. You've been doing it. You have.
Okay. So.
Thank y'all for coming early. Just give us a couple of minutes.
Oh, we're fine. We're fine. Yeah, we're good.
Well, eat our back.
No, I'm good. I'm with you on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, guys.
of having me this morning. I appreciate all that you do and the time and energy that it takes going through this process. So thank you for your service as well. I want to introduce my staff, my office manager, Sean Beach. She handles offices and also handles our TPP, which will, as we're in the conversation today, and you start hearing me talk about TPP, you'll understand the importance of that. Ben does dental bow, but our tax rolls middle. Ben can do anything with it in the office, as most of all of our people can. And they're actually the ones behind all this. I'm kind of our mouthpiece. So if we've got a question, I can't have all these convert to these guys to help answer. We got you a little handout this morning. We're going to talk about the tax roll. I'll talk about the details of it and the makeup of it. And what we are for you guys is a great desk. We've got more information, and please utilize this. I mean, that's what we're there for. We're here to present the taxing authorities with a taxable value of the county. That is the priority. So that's our number one goal, is to give you, and that's statutorily what we have to do, is give you a taxable value each year of this county. My goal is to help you in understanding the makeup of that. And it is very different than in any other county in the state. On page 2 there, that's going to explain that right off the bat. Tangible personal property, 43%. Real property, 57%. If this is a repeat for you guys, I know I've said this to you before, but I'll just kind of do a little quick refresher if it's okay. Real property is physical property on the ground. Your house, your improvement, your structure, it's got a taxable value at the end of the day when we remove homesteads and everything of that nature. Whether it's commercial or residential or improved or vacant, that falls under our real property category. Only 57% of that is made up of our tax rolls. 43% of that, almost half of that, is tangible personal property. Tangible personal property, 300 and some odd million of it is a mill. Thought mill, yeah. All of that is subject to depreciation. Depreciation is huge. Along with some of the other guys that are part of that, let's talk about them. Logging industry, skidders, fella bunchers, loaders, everything of that nature. The aluminum industry, we've got a lot of manufacturing out here, a lot of equipment in the buildings, that's part of it. We've got a big shelter manufacturer here. They've got a lot of production, tangible personal properties. We've got a $100 million pipeline that nobody even has a discussion about or talks about. It's just kind of silent. But that's a $100 million account just in the pipeline that runs across here.
And it's still appreciated when you look?
Everything, yeah, it does. And that's a great question. I was hoping somebody was going to ask that.
Is that for our guest you're talking about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about the new pipeline that's going into the hallway? Will that be assessed as kind of personal?
Different story. Okay. Different story. Pollution control. But that is, once again, a great question. But that involving pollution control has some exemptions that goes along with it. So with almost half our role being the tangible personal property, let's just say, for instance, we had a year where we had no increase in real property, we had no new investment, and we had 100% depreciation. Every January 1st, that's where we start. We're $50 to $60 million in the hole with this tax rate. Right off the bat. You have to overcome that with capital investment on the tangible personal property side or value in real property. Now, publicly, we've heard from some of our big investors and our businesses here, they intend to have for the next couple of years significant investment. So that's going to overcome that depreciation. But I always talk about our role being so volatile. Every January we start, we're $50, $60 million in the hole potentially, with simply nothing but appreciation. So, as I go through the presentation, I want you to kind of have that in your head to start with, and we'll start talking about that. Yeah, that makes you shake your head, won't it? That page, that was page two. Page three. We're simply talking about the real property size. The 57% is the breakdown of this next page. 51% is improved residential homes. Commercial, 15%. Restaurants, retail, gas stations, those items. Agricultural is only 20%. 70% of the county has an agricultural classification. Higher than 70, what is it? 76. 76% of the county has an agricultural classification, but it's only 20% of the 57%. It's small. Because agricultural land has an agricultural classification, just like Mr. Page's pastures. His pastures out there, they're
going to have little cows.
They've got those little cows on it, and you put that on classification of pasture, and it's not the same. Otherwise, a farmer couldn't survive. And that was about, but from a tax rule standpoint, it has an impact on the world. Vacant residential is 11%. Any questions? Got any questions? Jump in.
Bruce, can you just give us a comparison? When you're looking at this breakdown, mm-hmm. Actually the previous page, the breakdown with the tangible personal property, do you have any idea of what maybe one of our neighboring counties, if this is similar?
Less than 10%.
Less than?
On average. Well, there's some counties it's 1%, 2% tangible personal property of the impact. Now, you may have, there's some smaller counties on the west side of us that have some large industries. Normally, where you have a small rural community, it has a big manufacturing process or a big manufacturing presence. Mm-hmm. But that's obviously in Florida not common. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're very unique in this movement. I don't know, but you know, just thinking off the top of my head and thinking about their industry or what they have, probably. They don't have a lot of manufacturing like we do. We're really high on manufacturing.
Probably
their largest plant. Just out of this, make a comment. Andy, what personally is important to us?
It's very important to us. It's very important.
They are the ones that really have paid the bill.
Well, it pays 42%. 43%.
But it is volatile just by nature because of the depreciation.
Because of depreciation. Right. That's right. Exactly correct. So if we ever experience full depreciation with nothing else, we have a huge deficit.
Also, recession really would kill us.
Yes.
Because of this high percentage of tangible personal property.
That's correct.
If nobody's coming in and building no more plants than yours, what you say, how many million down and start with?
60.
60. So now I think that's probably part of the problem we've had in the last year or two because of the taxable value has not increased enough because of that tangible personal property.
Correct. And we're going to talk about some more of this as we go along. This whole puzzle is going to come together, for you, I hope, and we can. We really spent some time putting this together for you guys. The county taxable value, this is just simply a graph with the numbers that shows you where those percentages come and what percentage we gain. In real property, we refer to that as real, it's real property, and I'm on page four, by the way. Real property in 2018 was $776 million and some change. In 19 preliminaries, we made $800 million. That's a $26 million increase on the real property side. Okay? On the tangible side, we were $566 million. We ended up $608 million. $41 million increase. And remember the $60 million worth of depreciation that we had to overcome? So we overcame that plus gained 40 million. That tells you the significance of the capital investment in tangible personal property. Make sense?
The reflection is there.
That's correct. That's correct. So as a whole,
that Bruce.
Yes, ma'am.
if you didn't have any increase in that next year, it would be a flat, normally a flat, pretty flat.
Depends on real. Depends on real profit.
That's right.
Which we're about halfway through the year. So we're already seeing, we can kind of tell you what's going to happen next year, real property wise. You know, we've got about half the sales that we normally have. Unless there's some huge third and fourth quarter that's going to show up and surprise us. You know, we can pretty well tell you where we're going to be real property wise. And so we start studying those numbers January 1. You know, we got 6 months of looking at them. So, first 6 months, a slight increase. Which is what consistently, we've got some charts in here that's going to talk about this too, so we'll get to that part. So we're up by $68 million as a roll, which is about 5.1%. And historically, it is the highest our tax roll has ever been. Now, there's some additional information to get to here in a little bit. Okay? $68 million. Questions? Changing taxes. Once, as I was saying earlier when we started talking about this, our job, our function is to provide the taxing authorities with the taxable values so you can prepare our budgets. And this is the taxing authorities that we have in the county. We have a county, which is not least you guys, of school board, city and state, city of Perry, the MSTU. You didn't mention the water management district, but we also have the water management district, which is the same as you guys. Same guy. So that's the change in those. You know, the school is higher. You would have maybe asked, why is the school higher than the county? Well, the school has some exemptions that you don't have, that people aren't, the additional on the homestead, the additional $25,000. Affects the county, but it doesn't affect the school. So that's one of the places where the school gains a little more taxable value. City of Perry, that's kind of, it's only up 0.1%. I'm not going to get into all that, but they have their own dynamics. So what happened there? Their impact is tangible personal property. And not the investment that, they didn't see the investment side in the city that we saw in some of the county businesses. And so they got a lot of depreciation, which impacted the road, city-wise. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Page 6. County taxable value trend. From 2011, we were at $1.2 billion. Today, we're at $1.4 billion. And if all our records are correct, we just started talking about this morning, you mark the careful with the newspaper department. We've got to verify it. I was thinking about this morning, I was coming in, I was like, I remember right, we're like 1.3 something, almost 1.4 was the highest it's ever been. And that was in 2007. And so we had to go out and do some quick research this morning, but we'll verify that again this afternoon. But if that's the case, yes, this is highest our taxable value. A nice little, I think, a nice little trend there. It's trending on an upward mark. As a whole, I think that's healthy. Once again, you've got that 43% hanging over your head that makes it very potentially volatile. Page 7. This is all over the chart. Up $1 million, down $1 million, up $1 million, down $1 million, down $4 million, up $3 million, down $2 million, up $1 million. This is new construction. This is where you can really impact a taxable value. Let's just say we go through and we do a sales analysis and the $100,000 home is now worth $110,000, 10% increase. Okay? So that 10% increase, you got homestead. So only 3% of that can be added to the taxable value of the roll. If you're non-homestead, if you're a commercial business or residential or anything else, it's a 10% cap. So it takes a lot of real property in order to impact the taxable value in the roll. Guess what? New construction, 100%.
If you go out there and build a $100,000 house, there's $100,000 on the tax. Now, new construction is what will impact a tax roll significantly. Tangible personal property is subject, it's a 100% also, but subject to appreciation. New construction and housing is subject to some depreciation, but normally it increases, doesn't depreciate. Housing over, you know, it was always a great investment. Florida people came in, they bought some property, they built a house, and they sold it. It was always a pretty good deal. So real estate's always been a good investment. It appreciates. And new construction, we get 100%. So new construction has a huge impact on the taxable value between, for the city, between the lack of new construction and depreciation. Their tax rolls will basically stay, their taxable value will basically stay the same. So, in the event there's new construction will change that 57-43 ratio very quickly. And in the event new construction will allow far a larger increase in the tax roll, significantly and very quickly.
How does homestead affect that?
This will be the $25,000 of the $100,000 and then an additional $25,000 over that portion.
They don't get the full
Not on homestead.
Okay, can I ask you something?
Yes, sir.
I noticed here not too long ago we just provided a $6 million improvement on the Perry Town Park. How much is that? What does that do?
A $6 million improvement on what?
Perry Town Park.
Yes.
How much does that do? What does that do to the tax roll?
If it's new construction,
Renovation.
It's going to be a percentage of it. It's going to be a percentage.
Okay.
And we look at the permit. We're going to look at the permit, value of the permit. Then we're going to go out and we're going to, look at the square footage. Some of that is, I'm not familiar with that one. Have you looked at that?
Most of that was CPP.
Most of the CPP?
It's new furniture, new carpet, new microwaves and stuff like that.
We got 100% of it on the CPP.
How do you explain this?
New construction?
I mean, look at this. I mean, there's such a variance in locally for us, how do you explain this?
I don't think it's a lot. I think the reason you see the volatility or the change in the trend there on the new construction side, it's not a significant amount of money with $6 million construction. It's not a lot of houses. It's not a lot of houses. It's not a lot of new businesses. $6 million as a whole is pretty small in the number. So you would see the big spike you saw right there, if you'll notice, was 2016, which is an election year, which everybody's pretty hesitant. I think the market is pretty hesitant here in those election years. And you've got one of them coming up. So you may see that same trend from a housing market.
Everybody's afraid to buy a new house.
That's true. Hey, James. If there's not any more questions, I'm going to do this stuff. Hey, James. This is really interesting. Ben did a great job. I love this chart here when we put this together. Our total value of the county is $2.3 billion. Remember the taxable value of $1.4 billion? That's almost $1 billion. 50% of the value of the county is not taxable due to all these different classifications and exemptions and the whole nine yards. Agricultural classification, we talked about that. Farmers and urban farmers, the tree industry funds, and so they get a break on that. Conservation classification, $3.5 million. We have a couple of conservation easements here in the county. We had a new one get added this year, and that theoretically takes them off the roll. I think we put them on a half. We've not had a lot of communication with them, so we're going to see how that pans out for them.
May add to that number between now and 9 months, but that's part of pollution control, 168 million. Big number. Big number, 468 million. Homestead caps, 47. Non-homestead, 38 million. Then you run on down, second homesteads, and that gives you a 1.82 assessed value.
Bruce, and that conservation, planting, catching, is that where it's more of your is involved?
This is all, this is privately owned conservation. Okay. And then you just, you hit right on down, all the TPP exemptions is the $25,000. Everybody has a $25,000 TPP on their filing, so small businesses that have a couple of computers and office chairs and small barns, those guys don't pay any damage to personal property because $25,000 exempt. So, which I think is a great thing. That should be. Government, 184 million. Institutional, 45 million. Institutional being
nursing home, non-government.
Correct. So, and right on down. So,
churches.
Institutional churches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Prison institution.
Prison and government.
Government. Yes. And you know, Tim, if I'm understanding this right, state statutes guide all of these.
Correct.
Correct. The commission doesn't have a thing to learn to do with any of this stuff.
Dead on the head.
Right.
And guess where it all comes from?
We have a just value of $2,300,000, and yet the set value is 1.8.
Exactly right.
Yeah. We don't have any control over that.
Well, Mr. Page, my opinion of that is legislation in Tallahassee, those guys get credit for starting the counties out of money, because this is exemptions that directly impact the county, not the state. And when they mandate that and they pass that legislation, that surely we have to deal with what's left. And that's where we are today. Yes. But the impact it has on our role is tremendous. Mm-hmm. Got any questions? This is great information to look at and massage. And if you get home and you're really bored and you just want to read something even more boring, read it, and if you've got any questions, call me, and we'll help you explain it. Ben's put the graph together, and Sean is on the tangible side, and just call and talk to them, too. They can answer any questions I can
ask. Very helpful, Bruce.
Thank you. Page 9, number of qualified sales. This shows you a little history of what we're dealing with. From 2014 was 300 sales, to 18 was 542 sales. And this year in 19, we're about halfway there.
Halfway through the year. Qualified sales.
Qualified sales. Say, for instance, it's exposed to the market. Real estate listing or a individual listing. Everybody had an opportunity to possibly purchase it. Conventional financing. If I was to buy a home and you were financing it for me, that price may be impacted because I was potentially not available for lending, and I had some private lending. So that could affect pricing or interest rates. So private lending, we kind of want to stay away from that one. Anything that's between family, dad sells the kid, you know, the home, or grandkid, or something of that nature. If I bought Mr. Page's place and he threw in 20 cows, you know, that's part of the price, you know. And we send out a letter for each sale, for every one of these 500 something sales, we send a letter. And we have a little questionnaire. We're not trying to be nosy, but when we try to explain that in our letter, it's, you know, tell us a little information about your purchase, if you don't mind. Tell us, was it conventional financing? Was it private financing? Was it cash? The guy that walks in probably pulls cash and says, hey, I want to buy your place. Obviously, his process will be a little different than the guy that walks in and wants to finance a new bank, you know, so the cash guy we kind of want to stay away from. But we just want something that's been exposed to the public, everybody had an opportunity to look at and buy with some conventional financing or minimum amount of, you know, it's not a long cash deal. And, you know, and some of these we use,
there what we call outliers. You know, if we call and we get some information, well, we have oversight from the Department of Revenue. This qualified sales deal is a huge discussion every year because they go through them and they look at the face of the meeting and they go, no, that was a good sale. Well, then I can come back and go, well, it really wasn't because of this. And it you know, we've had some really high sales of property that was significantly impacted in an area falsely, simply because someone paid more than what the market was. And the same thing on the low side. So we try to get a piece of this, and we work with revenue. This is one of our big discussions with them is when we start getting down to what our sales are qualified and which ones we should use or not.
What response do you have when you send these letters? Do you have good response in terms of people actually filling it out and getting it back to you?
60%?
It's more, 30%.
30%?
Okay. They don't, and I get it. And if it's something we really need, thank goodness, we're small enough town that I can pick up the phone and call somebody and go, hey, let me tell you why I'm asking. Just give me a little detail. I can make some, you know, and I'll just make some notes on it. And then when we go to the sales qualification process and we get to that one and I unqualified it or qualified it, and they go, why not? I can go back and discuss and say, hey, I remember Mr. Page and I called him and he told me what the deal was.
Yeah, I would think a lot of people think that's
nobody's
business.
And I respect that tremendously. Absolutely.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, he's passed on, but he called it, he's explained to me, and he got a letter from the Department of Revenue.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing to do about it. Hey, go do a little thing. I said, got nothing to do with that.
Page 10, non-taxable lands. This is a little map. And some of the detail when you get down there, you can't see because it's large. But it's 111,000 acres. It's not on the tax roll in our county. 111,000. Church, government, private conservation, whatever it is. I just thought that was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And if you'll notice, guys, it's our coastline.
How does this compare with
other counties?
Yeah, plus five.
Weird. Unless you got in the Everglades or one of those that have a large national park or something of that nature, I would think with percentage-wise, we were considerably higher.
Mm-hmm.
Considerably higher. Bad faith, page 11.
So, what are you going to need, Bruce?
Sir?
That's faith that where there's no blue on it. How many acres is that? How many miles?
How many miles? Oh, in that little gap there. Let's see. He's talking from here to here.
That's the interim curve. That's about 20 right now.
Dark Island. Or no, that's actually Fish Creek. Because that's where it starts, is Fish Creek. So that's Fish Creek up to Dead Man's Curve.
Actually, I don't know, Spring Water.
Is that Spring? That is Spring Water.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of mixed in there. So.
As a crow flies,
about 20 miles.
I was going to say 20 miles. Yeah, I think 20 miles is a good estimate there. That's all we have left, potentially, development-wise, which, if you want to look at value, your coastal properties historically will be a little more price per acre or square foot or linear foot or whatever unit of measurement you use. Okay.
Then this in blue, if it was on the tax roll, then how much money would that cost?
How much money would the...
all the blue.
All the blue and everything else. All right, we've had some sales. I'm just going to use generic numbers. So we've had some sales in the $1,200 to $1,500 range on large pieces of property. So if we had $100,000 that sold at $1,500, that would be $10 million and
15.
All right,
that's all. The exemption right now, that number would be really close to the
150 million?
155.
Okay.
155, excuse me, I missed.
We've got 184 in government.
Bruce,
yes, ma'am.
This blue, is that mostly Swan River? It owns most of that? And
yes,
that's... And the little taxes check that y'all just got, or that's what you supposed to lose in property tax fee?
That's 68,000.
That's true.
It's true. Yeah, that formula does not suffice for adequate taxes. Lost in a piece of property.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was the 68,000 the Procter & Gamble sale back in 97, I think. My dad did that. I remember doing that survey for that coastal sale. And so, okay. Last page 11. Total acres in the county is 667,580. As Ben says, and we were talking about, it depends on how you measure that coastline. That's a core distance, that's drawing a line from one end to the other and measuring. If you went down all the curves and crannies, and if you meandered the mean high water line, being the boundary between sovereign and private, all the way down the coastline, you could probably get another thousands of acres. So, is the number accurate to that degree? No. But it generically, 700,000 acres is a pretty good number. 67, I've always said 700, but that number can change due to that measure along that close coastline how you tend to build. Any questions?
Very good.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to cover a little bit, if I may still continue. On our budget, I wanted to touch base with you on, I asked for an increase in our budget this year, and it's mainly in adding a new person, a new field person. Historically in the county, we've always went out, every 5 years we have to physically inspect an improved piece of property, plus every new construction, plus every permit pool. So our 5 year rotation, you know, we have to go to your house whether you've done anything or not and physically make an inspection. Whether you're home or not, because most of the people in our county have jobs and they work and they're never home. We're very seldom home. And we have historically opened the gate or when there's not a gate, went in and we have a little door hanger, you know, said, hey, we're property appraiser, we came by, and that's the foot track you see or the tire mark you see. Well, times have changed, even in our county, sad to say, but people have to be really careful and protective of their property, and I'm with them 100%, and if they've got a locked gate or a shut gate or a fence or anything else, people have security and they have things, and it's become a problem.
How about no trespassing signs?
Yeah, it's become a problem for us. Bad dog. And we, I'm really concerned about our guys. We're fortunate we've got a couple of guys that you know, they're locals and they know everybody and it kind of works, but it's just changed. And so we're making a lot of appointments now. So if we go somewhere and there's a locked gate or a shut gate or no trespass sign, you know, we bypass it. We have to come back. We try to make contact with them, whether a letter or whether a telephone call. And then we're scheduling these appointments now. Some people don't want you on there, and I respect it 100%. I sure don't want to put any of our employees in harm's way and trespass. And hey, I got news for you. If I looked up and I saw somebody walking across the field, unbeknownst to me who it might be, I'd address it pretty aggressively too. I get it. So we had to change our approach, and we just can't get to it. We can't get to these parcels. Every other year, we're audited in an in-depth audit by the Department of Revenue. They come down with a team of people. They have a team of people that do residential improvement, residential vacant, commercial improvement, commercial vacant, agriculture. I mean, they probably have 20 people that come down and participate in this audit. We're running behind in our five-year inspections because we can't do them. And we're trying everything we can. But we're running into issues with these lock gates, and it's just a day and time of where we are. It's okay. We're going to have to add someone on our field group in order to be able to stay in compliance with these 5 year rotations.
And we had a, there was ADD compliance. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. Sean, you want to talk about that a little bit, the ADD part?
Sure, ADA compliance.
ADA.
They, websites, we have to be in compliance with the American Disabilities Act, and we've seen in other counties where people are actually being sued when they're not compliant. So, at one of our association meetings, you know, they just really stressed getting our websites up to date with this Disability Act, and, you know, it's not exactly cheap. So we have to, you know, we've been getting...
$4,500 to come in compliance with that. Plus, if a deaf person calls in on the phone, you have to have means of communicating. You don't have that.
I know by the law that we did have a meeting, and we had clerks that been sued because their website, and I'm in the process of upgrading mine right now. And so we got the same cost as Bruce is talking about, $5,000 plus you have a maintenance cost there.
Yeah. So we're trying to come in compliance with that. Our consulting services, guys, when it comes to our industrial sites, we have some very complex industrial sites that are very difficult to evaluate and to assess. We were very fortunate, so fortunate, we have some outside help that we can reach out and grab and have those guys come in. Otherwise, some of these values, 2 years ago, an example of cell towers. The cell tower industry is just advancing in leaps and bounds. We picked up $10 million in value on these annual side cell towers just by simply involving these people who are up and current with the advancement of some of these industries. Our meal, our pollution control process out there, what is pollution, what is not pollution, what percentage of something is pollution. Each equipment may have some type of participation and contribution to production and pollution. And this, we start this in early November, going through the details of every one of these pieces of equipment, what part we're going to dedicate to pollution, what part we're going to dedicate to production. And we need this assistance of these people in order to be able to assess some of these industries that we have. So I've asked for a little bit in there. So all in all, I just wanted to explain to you guys what I'm asking for in the reasoning. The biggest expense of it is coming to add an additional person. And, you know, by the time you take a $35,000 salary with benefits on, it's about $60,000 position. And so that's where the majority of our additional budget request was. So I just want to make you aware of it and what our reasoning behind it. We're always going to work with whatever we've got to work with for you guys and get it done. I wanted to give you a little detail of that, where that was. So,
now, Danielle, that's already in the budget number.
Yes, sir.
Just do the decision.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if we don't take it out, you do it.
Sure. And you pretty much saying it'll pay for itself having that extra special person to value these things correctly. It'll still have to pay for his salary.
You know, it's being up with the industry standards and what's happening in those individual little pockets. And we don't have the money to send someone to those schools. And being able to hire those services is a lot cheaper than trying to educate or specialize one of our guys in. So it's a huge help.
Not that big.
Yes, sir. Huge help. Work. Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question, just out of curiosity. Will you ever get to the point where you can use drone technology for some of these visits, or is that a state? Is that a no?
Well, we're there. I mean, we I personally have a drone for my personal use. During the storm, we used it to look at different situations, and that's good. On a daily basis, I would not do it simply from a privacy standpoint. I may be out there in my Speedo sunbathing, and if I blew the drone, somebody blew the drone over there, my wife would be mad about that, and I get it. So we're not going to go and to that point, because, you know, if we had a structure that it would help us with, and we went to that individual, and Mark, don't you put that in the paper about my Speedo. That's too much. And it would help me contact them and ask permission and then do it. I know Foley is doing Four Rivers is doing some of their timber drones, and which helps them significantly. Our biggest asset that we have is aerial photography, pictometry. The old aerial photography was Porthos, looking straight down. We do obliques now, so we're flying along. We're taking a picture from the front, taking a picture from the side, and from the back of the plane, and they capture all angles. And we have some photography available to us, a few guys, and I've talked to you about it. And I provide it for the sheriff, and I provide it for the city of Perry. Guys, it's pretty detailed. And it's not something I have on the website. I think it's... A potential dishonest person could have a laundry list of items to pick from, because that's the clarity of it. But it helps us tremendously. And, you know, we go down to the beach and we measure this and that and come back and go, oh man, I forgot to measure the dock. And he gets back, he can pull it up, he measures that dock to pretty accurate.
But that doesn't take the place of your site visit that you have to have. That was one question.
Busy. And so, you know, getting to them, we've got 20,000 parcels, we've got two guys. Mm-hmm. 20,000 parcels plus new permits, new construction, and remodel stuff. It's a lot of units in a day when you do the map. Mm-hmm. So we're just at that point now from the scheduling standpoint. And I don't want to get anybody pricey, and I don't want any of our guys hurt. You know, so at the end of the day, we got to make phone calls. So we got to send some letters. And you know, hey, there's some of them don't respond, some of them don't answer. And we have different methods of getting to those. And at the end of the day, we're sending a bill regardless. Mm-hmm. Our statute said, I've got to send a bill. They don't let me in, or they won't let me look. I'm going to send a bill, but I'm going to miss it on the high side.
Right.
And then we can have some discussion.
That'll probably bring me that every time.
So, we're just trying to get it right. You know, at the end of the day, we're just trying to get it right. Okay, thank you guys.
Thank you.
You know, good work. You're welcome. Use this, guys, if you need some. Hey, there's one thing I did want to talk about. If you don't mind, one more. We talk about real property and new developments and how to encourage that. We've not had a new subdivision in this county for a long time. We don't have a lot of new development. We have, I think there's a strong demand for housing, but from a development standpoint and a uniformity standpoint, it's difficult to find a place to go in and find a neighborhood that's got 250,000 homes in it that are all the same and will appreciate or depreciate as a unit. And in order to do that, you've got to have some developers that are willing to come in and deal with some of that. I talked a little bit about Miss LaWanda, and I'll continue to feed her the information, but just want to share you a little bit. There's a designation called CDD. It's a community development district.
Yep.
CDDs are great and very encouraging to developers. You've got a community here in Florida, the Villages. Their whole business plan is based on the CDD. It is one of the fastest growing cities in our country for the past 10 years. It is absolutely unbelievable and phenomenal. Go down there and look at it. My youngest son, Taylor, just got a job there, and he's a recreation supervisor with Villages. Their recreation budget is $22 million for recreation. And they go up every year
on their tax, their taxable value increases every year. And accompanying along with that, they drop their millage rates every year.
Think about that. How does your taxable value go up, your budget goes up, and your millage rate goes down?
They have that much new construction. Remember when we were talking about new construction impacts 100%? Well, the part of the CBD, what CBDs are, we come in and or let's just say this podium was a piece of property. We had 100 acres here, and we own the 100 acres. And they're going to, conventionally, they would go in and go, okay, we're going to put our roads and our infrastructure and all that in. So that's another $1 million. They go to the bank, they put the land up, they sign the note, they borrow the $1 million, and they come back and they improve it, put their infrastructures and make settlements. That's historically how it works today. In a CDD, a community development district, you designate this as a CDD. It has a board that oversees it, but the infrastructure is bonded. And a bond is placed on this infrastructure. And the landowners, as they purchase their piece of property, when they get their tax bill, there's a line item for their bond payment that repays the infrastructure. No cost to the county. It's all held within the district itself. Very complicated process. I've got a little information on it. You got a point. And I'm glad to help and assist with it if it's something the board is interested in. But it would be an instrument that we could potentially present that may encourage some new developments and come in and help alleviate some of that expense without any expense to the county. This is not an idea that hasn't been proven. This is one of the fastest growing communities in the country, and it is the basis.
And they don't ask for the 10 years. What happened in 10 years?
It goes up. That old house they built for $150,000 back 20 years ago is now probably worth $250,000.
Yes.
And so it is a formula that definitely works. And I was just simply thought I'd mention it. I've had some exposure to it through my son, and it is just a business plan that is absolutely superb, and the legislation is currently there for it to pursue it. Doesn't need anything we don't need to pass anything on state level. It's just we need to go through the ordinance process of having that designated. So I'll offer my help if I can be of assistance in that. But it's one of the ideas we might want to consider in trying to increase this real property side and get away from this volatile, tangible personal process. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. If you guys want to look at them, that talks about CDDs and some question and answers. I'm sorry I didn't do more, but if you want to, if you want to distribute those and the board's interested, you've got the copy.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm here to make a request, I guess you'd say, concerning the dilemma that y'all are in on the solid waste problem. I know that you had to take $100,000 out for a couple of years out of bond, out of 1 cent off the bond that we had to bail them out, and you're talking about raising the rate on homes to $104 a year. As a homeowner, I don't see that as a problem. I would be all in favor of that because I use it twice, three times a week. My concern is, I'm also president of a hunting club. We've got 57 members of that hunting club. 49 members of that hunting club do not live in Taylor County. They do not deposit any garbage in Taylor County. When they leave on weekends, they take their garbage back with them to the county they come from. They have not complained about paying the $40-something that we've been charging to them. And I understand that if you went to $154, you could, without changing the ordinance, still charge them a third of what the homeowner pays, which is $50, around $50. That would not be out of reason for these people from out of town. What I hear from the folks that's in my hunting club and some other hunting clubs, and you'd be surprised how many hunting clubs there are here in Taylor County, and how many people from out of town come in here to hunt. They say they're going to stop coming if they have to pay $154 to come up here for 3.5 months to hunt, and pay another $154 plus what they're already paying for dues to be a member of a hunting club, anywhere from $900 to $1,500 a year. And most of them are carrying, as I said, carrying their garbage back to their home counties, to where they live. So, the $50 would not be an inconvenience for them. They'd be willing to pay that. The problem I see is, and I know that you've got a problem designating which RVs or who. Most, you're charging them one, say if you go the way the ordinance says it, you charge them one third of what you charge a homeowner. Well, on that one third, say that a person lives in their RV more than one third of the year, which is 4 months. If they're living there 5 or 6 months a year, then they should pay $154. Or if they're living there 10 months a year, $154. Because they're using it as a residence. It might be a summer residence. They come down and they stay from May, or they stay till the middle of October, and they go back. Well, they've gone more than 4 months. So they should pay $154. They're generating that kind of garbage, that kind of trash. But for the people that's there for just 3.5 months, that is a burden on them. And you would be surprised of how much money these hunters put into this county during hunt season. They're buying corn, they're buying gas, they're buying meals, they're buying shotguns, they're buying rifles, they're buying ammunition. They're buying all these things and buying food for their camp. And that's income into our county. And if they say, well, you know, I've got to pay this, I'll just say, and I'll join a club down around where I live. That takes money out of our pockets. Takes money out of our retail property, also out of the taxes we get from the sales tax. So I'd like for you to consider, or maybe going to the one third and make it $50. And if that is, there's got to be a way, and I'd be glad to work with somebody or work with whoever needs to try to designate who these people are. We can, there's several different ways you might be able to do it. And our tax collector might know a way to do it, to designate who's living in an RV more than 4 months out of the year. And then they would be charged $154 if they leave less than 4 months out of the year, then they charge for $54. The thing about you got on the C&D, I've got no problem if I tear down a barn and I load my trailer up and you go out there and you measure my trailer, it's 16 foot long, 6 foot wide, and you charge me $50 to dump my wood there, I've got no problem with that. But if we start weighing, I think the cost of buying steel is $200,000+. And you're gonna have to have either one person, one place designated for a scaler buy more than one set of scales. And then you're gonna get yourself into more financial difficulties. So, and I know that it's been said you cannot, the people at the garbage dumps cannot take money. There's got to be a way that you can write out a ticket and turn a ticket over to the tax collector, and either they apply to their taxes for the next year, or they'll send them a monthly bill. And I know it's a little bit more on the tax collector, but it would be a way of collecting your money. And I think that would be a fair way to do something whereby that we could not have to charge these people $154. But I think you're shooting yourself in the foot if you do that on these hunting camps. It's just amazing, and I know Gary said this the other day at one of your meetings, that I've witnessed myself 3 different times. I had a man who lives here in town told me the other day, he said, I loaded up my trailer and I drove out to the Harrison Blue Dump and I dumped my limbs on the tree that I cut down out there, and he lives in the city of Perry. He does not live in the county, he lives in the city limits of Perry, and he dumps his stuff out there. How do we stop it? I don't know. The systems you got about the green stickers, you got a green sticker, all you did have to come down and ask for one. You got a green sticker. If I want to dump something, I pull up my wallet and I say, all right, here's my address. And if they're not willing to do that, take your load somewhere else. And the only problem with that is that they're going to start dumping in the woods. And I see that problem coming too. But if they're not a county resident, if they're a city resident, they can dump there but charge them an additional charge than what you charge a county resident.
The city needs to build them a roll-off site so anyone more would there
well, to do it. That would be great. But, you know, I'm like Gary, I borrowed two trucks back to town that dumped garbage. And they drove up to a residence, and I know that's where they live. Because they don't want to put it out on the street and have trouble going out there and roll a garbage can out there for the city to pick it up.
Well, so, the thing is, you know, we've got our other presenter, but some people live in the city and have property in the county. We do that.
Right.
So if somebody sees us at the roll-off, they could say the same thing. Well, I know she lives on Bishop Boulevard.
Right.
We've got property and the county on both ends.
Right.
So we use the Blue Springs and the Burger Johnson. We would use any of the rest of them if we wanted to. But I wonder how many people have properties both in the city and the county.
There's got to be a way to work through it.
Yeah. But because if we check our identification, it showed us in the city.
Right.
You know, it doesn't list our addresses, our other 4 addresses.
Right.
You know, but I appreciate you coming forward and offering us some suggestions. We're always open to suggestions because, you know, we don't know it all, so I appreciate you coming in.
Well, I'm trying to look out for the county's benefit of these.
That's right.
You know, we've got 50 clubs in Taylor County. 50 hunting clubs. Most of them run between 50 and 400 people. And that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
And a lot of people going back south and not spending their money up here. I'd rather have their money up here than I had them spend it down there.
Well, we appreciate your input.
And I would, you know, I'd be willing to volunteer my time to If I can help anybody to work on it, I would agree.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Let me make one comment, Bob. You have some very good thoughts. And you expressed some of the same thoughts and questions. We all know we got a problem. And we're trying to figure out a fair way to solve it. Now, what I've heard you say is you don't think the people that come up, you know, 100 club members will reject, and 1/3 of the 154. That would be fair. And then if you live there more than 4 months and a year, you pay the full time. I think that's fair. But the problem that we got is, how can we manage that? How can we know how long you stayed there?
Well,
and how can we know which RV is a hunting camp and which is not? Think about it from an administrative point of view. So help us figure that part out.
Well,
some counties use light beams.
Yes, and I've already spoken to you about that. And go to Tri-County and say, you know, how often does this person use this meter? This person uses this meter 8 months out of the year? It's going to make a full rent.
I don't know if Tri-County can legally give out that information. But the person that's got the RV,
I think
on your power bill, it shows your historical usage for 13 months.
Right.
Not that give it to you.
Right. Because that's broken down.
But now, does Mark have staff to do that?
I think this is another day, another conversation, but we can bog down on this for the next one. Well, I understand that, but I just, I wanted to, and when y'all have the hearing, if you have a hearing on it, I'll be back here again.
Okay,
no.
Thank you.
Appreciate you well.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, Mark.
I'm sorry.
Mark. How are y'all?
Good, how are you?
Good. So, budgets. We're down $787 from last year.
How much?
$787.
With no zeros on you.
No zeros. It's just $787, but we're down. And I get, do we want to discuss anything on the, what we can do?
Did you get an answer to the question I had to you?
Yes. Yep. And what we do, what we will have is, Bruce actually has them listed as mobile homes. They're not listed as RVs, but we will have those as anybody who's living there full time. And they will get charged whatever rate you guys decide. Whether it's 147, 140, or even 154.
Now,
if they get homestead, they're going to be charged for the full time.
So we already do that? If they're
homestead, we do.
RV.
Yes, but we're going to get more often. So that's the way to capture those. Now, how many are there?
We don't know.
We don't know. There may be 40, there may be 20, there may be 120.
And we'll solve a $100,000 crisis.
It's not going to solve.
I think it's fair that you've got an RV that you claim is your homestead. You ought to pay the $154.
Absolutely.
The $140. The whole thing.
The whole thing. Whatever it is.
Yeah. In the past, has that been the way it's been?
It has, but it's been very sloppy.
Real sorry.
Yes, sir.
We don't know that we're capturing all of them.
I would say we're not.
Well, we've got to figure out how the people that are not paying need to pay, because it's just unacceptable to me that, oh, we've got so many that don't pay.
Yeah.
It needs to be a process so that they pay just the same as others. And then the ones that have rental property, when your rental property sits there vacant for so many months, then they would need a discount the same. A third of the price. So then you're going to see your whole budget go down. When you start talking about rentals that are vacant, I think you're going to see it more of a deficit in what we're talking about. And this is another day, another conversation,
sure.
But I think there's a lot more to it than what a lot of people see.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're out today. I mean, we go at least 3 days a week, especially now. Hunt season, scout season are our times we go. And we're going to capture some, and we're not going to capture some. It's impossible to police this. It's no different than policing the garbage coming into the dump. But you can go to 154 and the 5133, which would be a third, and you can raise $107,000 based upon last year's numbers.
And that's by resolution.
And that would be by resolution. You would have to do that. But you can.
Talk about the people who are covered by homestead exemption that they're only get a tax bill. For the garbage.
Yes.
you don't sell certificates on that.
That's right.
And then that person that every 7 years, 140, whatever they have said, drops off the tax roll. And it just goes on, it's not a lien, it's not nothing, it just drops off every 7 years. So those people get by with paying enough.
Yeah, and that there's a report that you gotta give the, you know, at camps and all that, and you'll see them all season. I think last year for the poverty side we did $8,000 worth. So it wasn't a whole lot. But I mean it's whatever the pleasure of the board is, we'll do everything we can, but I mean it would be for somebody to bring in their, I mean, if we want to go to that position, I know you guys want to go. But, and I'm going to use Ms. Annie Mae, I'm not sure about yours because I have never looked at yours, but Ms. Annie Mae pays 3 140s. We talked when I was on the board about taking a 140 and then knocking those others down to the third, or knocking them completely out because you're always already paying one time. You can't create trash in two different places at the same time. So, I mean, we've got that conversation that has to be made. That would be impossible as far as when you and I talked yesterday. Our system will not allow us to look for Sean Murphy's name here, pay him 140, and then go to Sean Murphy's name over here and say, hey, he needs a discount there. Manually, we can do it. FTE is going to be excruciating to do that in the office. You would definitely need it, yes. Simplicity is the best way to go in things.
Exactly.
Your end result, whatever it wants to be. If you need 100,000, the easiest thing is to go to 154 to 5133. It's easy for me to say because I'm not sitting in your chair and got people calling and saying, I want you to go up $14
on that. Well, you know, I've had people to contact me too, and I don't want to spend most of my budget time talking about solid waste. But the people that have contacted me, you know, it's not fair for me as a homeowner to pay the full price. And you got these people that are getting by with a lot less, and they're generating as much or more garbage as I am, I'm sure. And so I don't mind you going up on my only save to 154, but it's not fair to me to not make everybody else go up as well. And
right.
So I see both sides.
Absolutely.
You can see both sides, and I don't think there's an easy fix. And no matter what we do, everybody's not going to be happy. And you're going to have people that are more criticized, people that are not going to be happy. So we were elected to make the best business decision that we can.
For the county.
That's exactly right. And that's where I'm at. Make the best decision for the whole county, not for a few select people or a few select people, but what's best for the whole county.
Right.
And we'll get into that at another meeting.
That's the thing.
We're
going to figure it out. We'll do whatever we can for y'all. We'll see what we'll have. Hey, you're getting the deal, but I pay $240 in the city, and they don't pick up my C&D. I've had concrete sitting down where they used to pick up. It's been sitting down there for 4 months. It all just finally went away because a man needed it for something, and he came and broke it up and got it.
Yeah.
And it's $240 a year, I think.
That's right.
They get the deal.
Bring it all out here.
I can't. I don't have a green card. Oh, by the way, yeah, on the green card, Mr. Lovich, I do want to say this. On the green card, as a general rule, either Belanda or Danny will call us and we'll make sure that they are paying the landfill. If they are not paying the landfill, they have to come over, we have to add the landfill to them, then they can get a green card. So, when you change the green card, it didn't make the world crazy. It actually helped some because now people are having them in to work pay, so we're capturing some that way.
I'm against you. That's a good green card and a sticker vote.
Right.
We really don't need the card. We need nothing but a sticker.
Do a sticker and be done with it.
They can't pass them around.
Why the
sticker
is
better?
It's a fix.
Yeah, it's like a
voter
ID.
That's right. But let me remind everyone, if I may, that originally the plan was to give one card, one sticker, but then we had citizens who came forward and said, well, I have 3 vehicles, or I have 6 people in my family, and we were instructed to give extra stickers or extra cards. So we ended up giving multiple stickers or cards to per one assessment. That was our fault. Well, I didn't say it was anyone's fault. But I'm saying it was. Because we optimize that, we listen to people, and how do you know? What kind of, I mean, how do you know there's six people or three cars? We didn't ask for proof. We said, yeah, I take responsibility for that.
Well, I just want to remind, you know, in an attempt to help our citizens, which I don't disagree with, and I would say the majority of our citizens were honest. I have a trash truck, I get that. Or because there are multiple people living in the household and everyone hauls off the trash, our attempt to help those citizens may have enabled other citizens to get their hands on a sticker or a card. So I don't think it matters at the end of the day if it's a sticker or if it's a card, except that if we give out multiples to try to help our citizens, that does create the opportunity to share that with somebody else.
And they do.
And the gentleman that's doing the garbage pickup, he actually comes to our office. We make sure that they have that. He turns that into the one. So that
yes,
there's another
yes.
check and balance there. So
yes.
That there needs, a fee is getting paid, whether it's the $46.67 or the $140.
Well, thank you.
And absolutely, if y'all need anything, call me.
Thank you.
I'm there, just call me.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Okay, we're a little bit ahead, so Madam Clerk, you want to go ahead and then projects plan.
Well, if you look at my budget, it increased $5,000 5% increase, and that's only for the retirement increase. That's all now. But I will remind the board, all this stuff you're sending over there for me to collect. If I come to the point that I don't have enough employees to fulfill that obligation that you've asked us to do on the garbage and the RV stuff and all that kind of stuff, then I'm going to be asking you for additional money to hire somebody to do that.
Fair one.
And I just want you to know ahead of time, right now, y'all have no idea how many will go to the incinerator and bring us back a ticket to be paid. If they pay it, what are we going to have to do if they don't pay it? You know, there's a lot of things there that the board don't realize. We found that on a boat ramp citation.
That's right.
You know, you've got to track every one of those citations every month. So at the end of the month, if that person has went to the incinerator and he owes $400 and he hasn't paid it, what are you going to do? You're going to pay him off and go into his pay? There's a lot of work there.
And that's one thing, and maybe you're not here, but I did bring that up, that some of the things that had been discussed of how much more of a burden it would put on your office, and how about if they don't pay?
Right.
And how are you going to collect, and how long, and how many things do you have to do to collect that little bit of money? So I think we got, when the time comes, we've got to be very careful that we consider all the options, that we don't actually spend more money trying to collect this amount of money.
And I looked at that ordinance that y'all were looking at, and I contacted Conrad, but he was fixing to flee for his trip. But the whole purpose of this, for me collecting it, is through code enforcement. If you ever have to send it to court to be a collector, you have to pay a $40 fee just to file that citation in county court. Mm-hmm. And if the board does not prevail, if the judge dismisses that, you got to pay another $10 on that. You pay $50 and got not one dime out. So that's why it's important that you keep that stuff going through code enforcement.
Right.
So the court system got shut, and they do it in the recording. I charge it to the recording department, which you fund. So that way, the county's not out any more money.
Yeah, that's
fine. And that will be the same way on the boat ramp citations. You know, those boat ramp citations, when we get that list from Lawanda, she sends it in on her tickets and sends us the original ticket. Well, I got somebody from that time that ticket comes to the office now, she monitors that. If they don't pay when they're supposed to, if she's got a phone number, we have to send everyone that's out of the state of Florida to the state highway safety to get their address and all that. And we have good rapport with Georgia. Those girls at highway safety, they know what their tickets are for. They send that back, but I told them one the other day, we may have to hit an obstacle out there. Because she's now notified us that the state of Georgia's laws has changed and that it may not be legal for us to get that address online. But I think, like Florida is, we can pass that information through governmental agencies and get that information,
So we're gonna be contacting them to let them know it's an agency in government in Taylor County for us to do that. If that happens and they don't get to us anymore, y'all have to bother them. You just might go through it.
Well, we'll have to fix something else.
You don't have the, you probably have, but maybe the same amount, Florida and Georgia. But, you know, that they, it has really worked well, and you don't have any of the collection. But it's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, it is. Anything else? Okay, well, let's do this. Let's take another 10-minute break, and then come back and we'll discuss capital projects, and then the hospital's supposed to come in at 12:30, and maybe they'll be a little bit early, and maybe they can get out of here today.
So, wait.
10-minute break.
10-minute break. Now, that incinerator.
Oh, I need to do jumping jacks.
Come
on. I need to do jumping jacks.
Anybody that wants to pay. Anybody, city resident, contractor, private individual.
And the last commercial.
Just the dollar.
Go ahead, George, you want to talk about everybody.
And so that's what I'm saying. If you don't pay,
that's when you spend staff.
Yeah, well, you have to spend staff time just to talk to
this process. I know. And you've got another house, oh,
yeah.
They go to the cook out, and you've got problems.
$2 cigarettes, but I'm okay with $40. $8 is